Please do open up your Bible at Micah chapter 5, because we're going to be looking at that chapter today. Now, just a quick note of explanation. Dean was planning to be preaching on this chapter, but he's woken up with a bit of a sore throat, and so he's done the right thing, which is don't come to church, instead go and get a test. And he sent me through his notes, and so we're gonna have a think through this amazing chapter of God's Word, and I'd like you to pray with me now. Pray that I can help us see clearly what this is saying. Our Heavenly Father, we are weak, but Your Word is powerful. You work through Your Word to strengthen us, encourage us, give us perseverance and confidence and peace and joy, because Your Word is centered around the good news of Jesus. Father, I pray that You will enable us right now to see how good the news of Jesus is. And we pray this in His name. Amen. Well, expectations. You can have expectations that turn out to be true. You can have expectations that turn out to, well, not be quite accurate. My eager expectation is that this evening at our Christmas carols in the park, it's going to be 19 degrees and a gentle southerly breeze. My weather app gives me that expectation. And yet, we live in Melbourne, and so really the reality will show itself for what it is. Christmas is, of course, a season which is all about expectation, waiting. And this chapter of Micah, I'd have to say, is the most Christmassy chapter of them all. You probably noticed in Micah chapter 5, verse 2, there's that prophecy that the Saviour will be born in the little town of Bethlehem. And what I want us to think about this morning is, okay, that's good, but what sort of Saviour did Micah expect? Because if you're familiar with the New Testament and the stories of Jesus' life, you'll realise that there were all sorts of different expectations. Even when people identified Jesus, yes, we think he's the Messiah, yeah, but what does that really mean? People had different ideas of what a Messiah should be. Is he going to be a great military leader? Is he going to be a religious leader? Is he going to be a temple builder? And so let's see what Micah says we should expect in the Saviour born in Bethlehem. I think there's four things, one, two, three, four this morning. The first one is that we're told here to expect a ruler. But actually, before we get into those verses, I don't know, as Reuben read out this chapter for us before, sometimes it's a bit hard to follow exactly what Micah's talking about. Because in some verses, Micah seems to be talking about the near future. He seems to be talking about things that are happening in his own time. And you know, like he talks about the Assyrians are going to invade our land, and that's what the people were confronted with in Micah's time. And yet also we see things which came hundreds of years later, like this child born in Bethlehem who we're celebrating. And so what we've got in Micah is kind of a double vision. It's all in the future. Some of it is close, some of it is far away. And what Micah's doing is he's He's dealing with the real life concerns that are immediately on people's horizon, and he's actually showing that stuff that's further on in the future does actually provide an answer, and that does actually provide a comfort to these immediate circumstances we find ourselves in today. Does that make sense? And if that was true, if that was true for Micah, that something far off actually helps us today, well, isn't that good for us? Because, okay, Christmas, like the Christmas story and the shepherds and the angels, it is kind of very far off. It's 2,000 years ago. It's in a different time and a different place. And yet, this suggests that even though it's far off in time, still that good news about Jesus has something to say to us and our immediate concerns. So, Micah chapter 5, verse 2. But you, Bethlehem, Ephrathah... there were a couple of places called Bethlehem, so he's identifying the particular one that he's talking about, the Bethlehem that's in Ephrathah. Though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are of old, from ancient times. One thing Micah is doing is he's picking up on previous prophecies, on things that were said even before his own time. There's this verse back in Genesis where it talks about a ruler. It's this same word that Micah's picking up on. A ruler who's going to come from the tribe of Judah. This is, you know, way back in near the beginning of the Bible story. It's Jacob who says, "The scepter will not depart from Judah." Jacob or Joseph? It's Jacob who says this. If I'm wrong, forgive me. The scepter will not depart from Judah, nor the ruler's staff from between his feet, until he whom it belongs shall come, and the obedience of the nations shall be his. So Micah's kind of picking up on that well-known old prophecy and saying, yeah, this ruler... let's be even more specific. He's going to come from this little town of Bethlehem. And Micah says this interesting thing. His origins are from old, from ancient times. And you got this, how can it be that Micah's talking about someone in the future, but someone who's somehow got origins in ancient times? It's one of those kind of, I think, questions that if you only had the Old Testament, you wouldn't really be able to answer. But of course, when we do come, when this expectation becomes fulfillment, we find that Jesus, the Saviour born in Bethlehem, is also Son of God, Creator of the world, who always was and always will be, whose origins are from ancient times. And he is born, taking on human flesh in this little town of Bethlehem. So Micah says to expect a ruler over the whole world. Secondly, Micah also says expect a shepherd. A shepherd, I mean, Bethlehem was a sheep breeding kind of a place. And Micah's, this is a theme that Micah has addressed before. Do you remember back in chapter 2, a few weeks back? It was really interesting. So back in chapter 2, God said, "Hey, I'm going to be like your shepherd. I'm going to come, I'm going to bring my people together like a flock in its pasture. I will lead them as sheep." So isn't it really interesting? Micah's already said we're looking forward to God coming and being our shepherd. And then Micah says, and by the way, this shepherd will be born in Bethlehem. See, Micah chapter 5 verse 4, he, This child born in Bethlehem, he will stand and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord. And so Mike is looking forward to a shepherd. This shepherd is God himself. This shepherd is born in Bethlehem. And again, it's one of these things that, hang on, how is it God or is it a human that Mike is looking forward to? And again, that's resolved in Jesus, who showed himself to be God come to live among his people. I think this must have been a comfort to the people in Micah's day, as there's, you know, there's invasions, there's disasters on the horizon. In fact, in Micah chapter 5, it says even the disasters are going to come. Chapter 5, verse 7 talks about God's people are going to be scattered among many peoples. There's going to be hard times. They're going to live as exiles. And yet they're going to live in this hope that this scattering, this exile will one day come to an end. And God himself will gather you together. This is a hope that we still live in. It's sort of, there's still this double vision. On one hand, the shepherd has come. The shepherd has come. Jesus, the shepherd, has come and has called us to himself. Spiritually, we are his. We are close to him. We're following him. We're living for him. And yet, the full picture of this, we're still waiting for. Do you remember earlier in the year we looked at 1 Peter and there was this idea that, yeah, we're kind of still living as exiles. We're still living in the hope that Jesus, the great shepherd, will return and will bring us physically to himself. And so we're living going, oh, we know this shepherd. We have the comfort that he's with us, and yet there's more. There's a hope that we have. Third one, he will be our peace. Yeah, have a look at verse 5. And he will be our peace when the Assyrians invade our land and march through our fortresses. So that's interesting. He's not just saying he's going to give us peace, he's going to bring peace around them. He's saying, This ruler, this shepherd, he himself will be our peace. And this word peace, it's the word shalom in the Hebrew language. It's the word that Jewish people use to greet each other. It's a word which means, I hope everything is well with you. That there's a sense of completeness, a sense that things are right. So we're recognizing this saviour that Micah was looking forward to. He will be our peace. He will make it so that things are right, even when things are wrong around us. Just look at that again, verse 5. He will be our peace when the Assyrians invade our land. So they're going to go through, in the immediate future, they're going to go through this experience where everything is turned upside down, and yet the people have a peace, knowing that there's a saviour coming who's going to make things right again. But we as Christians look back on Jesus' first coming. And we see, what did he come to do? He didn't actually first come to fix up everything around us. He came first to fix us up within, to make us right with God, to die for our sins and give us new life, so that we can say, whatever's going on out there, I have peace with God, because my sins are covered by his death and his resurrection. We sing that song, don't we? It is well with my soul. You know, whatever's going on out there, Things can be really bad with our life situation, our work situation, whatever. It can be really tumultuous. But we can say, hang on, I have Jesus. He is my peace. It is well with my soul. And so I look forward to the day when he returns and he makes it well around me as well as within me. The last one. Micah told the people to expect a deliverer. So verse 6, halfway through verse 6, it says, he will deliver us from the Assyrians when they invade our land and march across our borders. A deliverer. The English language can be a funny thing. Just want to make sure we understand what this word deliverer means. So what we're not imagining is like the Star Trek van and the person delivering the parcel. That's not what we're thinking. When the Bible talks about a deliverer, same word, different meaning. The Bible's talking about a rescuer, someone who will rescue us from our enemies. And that's what you got towards the end of the chapter. You've got God's judgment on the nations. Now, verse 15, God says, I will take vengeance in anger and wrath on the nations that have not obeyed me. And one of the things that the New Testament teaches is that Jesus, born in Bethlehem, died on the cross, rose again, ascended into heaven, and will return as judge of all the world. And we got to see that this is actually good news. Not that we love judgment, not that even God loves judgment, but that if everything in our world is going to be put right, I mean, just think about what's happening in our world. All the corruption and the selfishness and the violence and all of that, how's that actually going to be fixed up? There's two options, isn't there? Either the people of our world change and turn from that, or they have to be, if people refuse to change and refuse to turn from violence and oppression, then God needs to step in and say, enough is enough. And this is the story. Jesus has come and paid the price. He said, I've come for sinners. I've said, now is the time. Turn to me. Change. Leave violence and oppression behind. Come to me and have peace with God and peace with each other. Be God's instruments of peace in the world. But what do we expect if there's a refusal to change? Actually, Jesus says he's going to come back. He's going to be our deliverer. He's going to say, enough is enough. Injustice will be put out of this world so that peace will reign over everything. And so, what was Micah saying to the people of his day? Well, he's saying, okay, There's troubles on their way. The Assyrian army are going to come marching through your land. But in the middle of these troubles, you can have peace because you know that God is going to do something in the end. And it's interesting. I mean, I wonder how the people felt knowing that the Assyrians are going to come in and that people are going to die and people's farms are going to be destroyed and people are going to be taken away and all of this. You know, that's in some ways the kind of things that people worry about today. You know, we've got a deadly pandemic. People worry about death. We've got economic problems. We worry about jobs. Some of our people have had to move interstate this year so that to find work, to find visa requirements. We live through all this uncertainty and turmoil around us. But Micah says, hang in there, there's a Saviour. There's a Saviour who's going to deal with all of this. Jesus came. Jesus said, "Do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. And yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that's how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? So do not worry, for the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well." And so Christmas is a time to remember this promise of a Saviour. To remember that actually we're further on than Micah. We can see that the Saviour has come and he's dealt with that core problem, and that he today is our peace in the midst of the troubles. But just like we've got the fulfillment immediately, further on, we're still looking forward to the Saviour bringing to completion this work of ruling the nations. What are the four things? Ruling the nations, gathering his people as a shepherd, giving us peace, and delivering us from his enemies. Is that an encouraging chapter? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you for what we have in Jesus, that we have a reason for peace and for hope in the midst of troubles. We pray that when the uncertainties of life get to us and make us worry, we pray that you will remind us again that it is well with our soul, that Jesus is the Saviour who loved us, died for us, and rose again and will return again. Father, we pray this in his name. Amen.